back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. We broadcast live 5 days a week, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Pacific time, 5 till 7 Central, 6 till 8 Eastern time. And in New Zealand, the time would be about maybe midday till 2 p.m. during the summer and 10 a.m. till midday during the winter time when the time zones change over and things of that nature. My very special guest who's still with us just for this last segment, he has a family affair to go and see and attend to right after this, so we won't waste any time at all. Is there anything you of importance that you'd really like to share with the listeners?
Well, I just encourage people once again to even when you're reading my stories over at endthelie.com, don't please don't just read it and be like, oh, you know, this is wonderful, must be true. Click through to the sources. I highly encourage, the reason I link sources in my articles and link other articles that I've written is because I want people to click through and check it out for themselves. You know, a lot of the things I talk about, drones, you know, various legislation like the National Defense Authorization Act and all of these kinds of things, privacy issues, technology, they're not isolated, and you really do need to do your own reading and check it all out for yourself. Vet it, please. And I, you know, I do encourage people to email me, you know, if they find something, another source that's relevant, or, you know, stories and so on. I actually rely a large part on people emailing me tips to come up with these stories. You know, I have like probably 100 different sites on my toolbar that I try to click through every single day, but it gets overwhelming, and there's so many little sites that will cover, you know, something once in a blue moon that is absolutely important and doesn't get covered elsewhere. So, you know, I really do encourage people to keep in touch with me that way. And if people are on the wonderful NSA surveillance apparatus known as Facebook, you can check us out there as well. It's facebook.com/endthelie. And, of course, we're also on all the other social network / surveillance tools. But, you know, people, I have been criticized for even using Facebook, but, you know, my opinion is, you know, if you're already on there, too late, you know. You can't delete your account, folks. It is far too late to backtrack now. So you might as well hijack it, essentially, and try to use it to spread information. You know, at least use it while you can, unless you get banned for posting offensive content, which is quite easy these days.
I believe the correct pronunciation is Facebook.
Yeah,
I've always thought about this. Why people don't use Facebook here. I'm afraid of being surveilled while they're emailing me this, or while they're Skyping me this.
While they're calling you on their cell phone, of course.
or while they're text messaging me this. And the example that I tell them is the samurai example. In Japan, I think this was made famous by the movie with Tom Cruise called The Last Samurai, which was filmed, incidentally, in New Zealand. They refused to use modern weaponry. And guess what happened? They got annihilated. If you do not use the modern warfare techniques, if you choose to keep doing things the old way that has been surpassed, that is now ineffective by comparison to the new technology, you will be annihilated. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Use the weapons of the enemy against them.
If it came down to it, if I really wanted to be, you know, ultra privacy, I'd be printing out leaflets in, you know, off my little cheapo printer here in my apartment and handing them out, and, you know, I'd probably reach maybe 100 people, 99 of which wouldn't care. They'd throw it away immediately. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And, you know, unfortunately, especially here in the United States, or anywhere for that matter, when you're using the internet, unless you are a privacy freak, and by that I mean you are using a virtual PC through a VPN connection, then using another VPN once you connect through that virtual PC, and then using that to connect to a proxy server, all with a browser with no scripts enabled, and then even then maybe connecting to another virtual PC, and then using that to browse the web. That's the only way that you would remain even remotely anonymous on the internet. And even then, you know, all they have to do is throw a Trojan on your computer, and boom, it really doesn't matter at all. And of course, there's companies out there. The Wall Street Journal, of all publications, covered this. They basically got their hands on a lot of promotional material by these companies who advertise surveillance software, basically, is what they do. And one company advertised that they can serve fake Adobe update prompts and iTunes update prompts that look 100% legitimate. You cannot tell they're fake, but you click it and it actually installs a Trojan, which monitors every single thing you do on your computer remotely. No amount of proxies and VPNs and virtual machines and all this kind of stuff can prevent that, unfortunately. And then, of course, there's the good old cell phone and the good old, old-fashioned traditional bug, so to speak, you know, but now everyone carries around a personal surveillance device in their pockets. So it's really, you know, why place a physical bug when you carry one on you?
Yeah, and under Project Echelon, which is signed by the English-speaking countries, you know, Canada, United States, New Zealand, Australia, and the UK, it's illegal for the New Zealand government to surveil the New Zealand citizens. But it's not illegal if the UK does it, or if the Australians do it, or the Americans, or the Canadians. It's illegal for the Americans to surveil the American population, but it ain't illegal for them to surveil the Canadians and the UK, and right? So what they did is they created this agreement called Project Echelon so that they would share information. Every single text message, every single phone call, every single email, all forms of digital communication. I think it's like, allegedly, the telephone companies here in New Zealand are required by law to keep up to 1 year of information on every cell phone number.
Only a year?
Only a year. And I think most people change their cell phones every other month or something like that. So they've got, like, you know, lists, a long list. You know, they can tell how many numbers you've had over how long. It's just insane. And just think about how long and how much data that they would be having to consume. And allegedly, there's this massive data storage center in like Cheyenne Mountain in the States or something like that, that is so power hungry and is expanding so rapidly that it's causing brownouts in the United States. You know,
but these people
have so much information that's all red flagged for analysis and things like that. And I'm just talking about what they were capable of doing like maybe 10, 15 years ago. God knows what they're able to do now.
Yeah, the NSA is actually building a $2 billion data center in Utah precisely for that. It's going to have, you know, be able to store more data than any other facility on Earth, you know, several thousand times over, reportedly, of course, because it's all ultra, ultra top secret. But, you know, it's interesting. Here in the United States, we have the National Counterterrorism Center, which is a little known entity, really, and they collect personal information on Americans. Credit card transactions, phone conversations, email, you know, web activity, whatever it may be. And they've given themselves the authority. This is literally what they did. They just gave themselves the authority to hold information on Americans with no links to terrorism. No links to terrorism. That is a very important fact for up to 5 years. And then, of course, they can just do it again for another 5 years. I mean, there's nothing stopping them, you know, whatsoever. So New Zealand, I say only 5 years, kind of only 1 year, kind of tongue in cheek, because here in the U.S. it's 5 years, and it's not just phone records; it's all records, it's all personal records. It's it's absolutely insane. And here in the U.S., for instance, we have the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, which is absolutely disgusting, and it was reauthorized very recently. I believe it was in December. But all they have to do is say that they believe that someone participating in the communications is outside of the United States, and then they can monitor it. But the key word is belief, and then they can start the surveillance 1 week before even submitting the request. And then if it's denied, which like never happens, I mean it's absolutely ridiculous the approval rate of these requests. Then they can continue to conduct surveillance during the appeals process. And in many cases, they don't even have to specify what is actually being monitored and surveilled. I mean, it's really laughable, but it's scary because the vast majority of senators and Congress people vote for these types of things. I mean, and it's all, of course, done in the name of fighting terrorism. You know, those big bad terrorists that are, you know, itching to get at our nuclear weapons and stuff. Which reminds me, just today, I was talking to someone at the place where I eat breakfast. And we were talking about how this 82-year-old nun and two others literally walked onto the Y-12 National Security Complex, which is called the Fort Knox of Uranium, colloquially. And it is the place where they literally do all of the enrichment. I mean, it has most of the weapons-grade uranium in the United States. This place is supposed to be absolutely completely secure. 82-year-old nun walks onto the place, sets off several alarms, and then hangs out there throwing, I think it was paint, and maybe some animal blood or something on walls and stuff for 2 hours before they're arrested. I mean, yes, this is we should really be worried about terrorism because apparently they can't stop an 82-year-old nun. But the moral of the story is if a terrorist really wanted to get at nuclear facilities and all these various things and, you know, they stopped doing background checks at chemical plants, if there really was this giant terrorist threat, don't you think they would have done something by now and the FBI wouldn't have to be framing people over and over and creating terrorism? I mean, it really is insane at this point to use that as a justification for continuing to strip our rights.
Well, I think people have got to get used to the idea that privacy is an illusion that no longer exists.
It's very true. And, I mean, even in your own home.
To that point, I say let them watch. Let them watch. Let them listen to this show. Let them read all those posts that I put up on the thing. Every single analyst or whatever that gets put through that is actually being exposed to our propaganda as they're surveilling it. And our propaganda works just as well, if not better, than the enemy propaganda. So by surveilling us and watching everything that we do, it's actually counterproductive to their cause. Because they're waking up their own tyrannical employees to the fact that they're, oh my God, I'm serving tyranny and scumbags.
Yeah, it's very true, and when it comes down to it, I do hope they listen, and I do hope they read my website. That would be wonderful. I'm sure they're reading it and saying, wait a second, you know, all of this stuff is actually heavily sourced, and wait, what? That you can't disprove any of this, you know? And I'm not saying it's unfalsifiable in that, you know, it's an assertion that can't be proved or disproved. It can be easily proved or disproved, and everything that I write about can easily be verified. I mean, all this stuff is easy. I'm not claiming, you know, I have secret, you know, government sources in Area 51 who are feeding me top secret insider info or anything. I don't cover stuff like that. It's all 100% public, and that's what's scary to me because, you know, who knows what's going on behind the scenes, really. I mean, if this kind of stuff is just the public information, you know, I can't even begin to imagine what the secret information is like.
Well, exactly. And I think the public's so dumbed down at this point, they think secret sources are what they get on their Big Mac.
Yes, that's very true. And I don't know if you guys have...
They think a technocrat is a DJ, you know?
It's, Yes, it's very true, actually. I heard someone in one of my classes not too long ago asking what a technocrat was, and, you know, saying something to that effect. Isn't it, you know, a type of music or something like that?
You know, you can't make this stuff up. That's the thing. You got to focus, right? So here's the point. I'm speaking to Madison Rupert from endthelie.com. Been speaking to him for about an hour, 10 minutes or whatever. And we're talking about really important stuff that actually matters. I will not subject myself to hanging out with people who don't know what the hell they're talking about, don't care about humanity, and aren't doing anything important with their lives. It is not worth my time. I don't watch reality television. I barely even watch the news anymore because it's so pointless. You know, people have got to prioritize. What are you spending your time on? No, seriously, ladies and gentlemen listening, what are you spending your time on? Who are you spending your time with? Is it important? Is it worth it? Are you somehow learning or evolving or changing humanity for the better in some way, shape, or form? If the answer is no, you're not doing anything important.
It's far too true, and nowadays it's even easier to distract ourselves with anything and everything that has no relevance to real life whatsoever. If it is, you know, incredibly engrossing video games that can suck people into this alternate reality so much so that they literally die because they don't eat or drink because they think, you know, their character eating and drinking will actually keep their real bodies alive, or, you know, if it's reality television or movies that are pumped out like every single second. I mean, it's just amazing how easily you can pull yourself out of reality these days.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the reality is you can't stay with us forever, and we're about to come to break. So, Madison, thank you very much for your time. Endthelie.com is his website. Cheers, bro.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
All right. We'll see you again sometime. After the break, ladies and gentlemen, I have no idea what I'm going to be discussing. In fact, there was an article about tsunami bombs being set off the coast of New Zealand and a number of other places as well that they've been testing to try and make a 10-meter tsunami. we'll look at that. Be right back.
Everything that the U.S. government, everything else that the U.S. government is involved in, because they do run almost all of the crime. And you gotta love organized crime, don't you?
Welcome back, everybody. All right, now, Rocket is on the line, and I'll come to you in just a second. I want to sort of share a piece of philosophy for you. I was looking for articles to read out on the show during this segment, and I was looking down New Zealand Herald, our equivalent of the New York Times, and it's like, police run one person off the road. That's not news. Police arrest a murderer. That's not news. You know, just rubbish, 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 rubbish. And ironically, the very first article that I saw that might be worth reading out is election apathy shows need for civics at school. I mean, come on. Obviously. It's been that way for quite some time. All right, now, call-in number is 218-339-8525. And we're going to go to our first caller now. Rocket, are you there, mate? Rocket, are you there?
Yes, sir. You recognize me.
Well, it's written down on the board, so whenever you call in, there you are.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, great show.
Well, thank you.
You know, as an outspoken talk show host myself, I often wonder when the red team is going to kick my door down.
Yeah, I don't think the red team needs to kick your door down, because I think they think we've already in the prison camp and they can already see everything that we're doing anyway. There's no need. It's like digital transcendence of tyranny. It's like now we don't even need real tyranny. We've got virtual tyranny that's doing just as good a job.
Did you know it's a felony to know about a felony and do nothing about it?
You know, I didn't know that. But yeah. You know, imagine.
The president police? Where's the legislative branch police? Who? What sheriff has the gall, say like Virginia or something, to drive over to the White House and ask to speak to the president and then place them under arrest for murder? I think would be the easiest thing. For killing Anwar Zahawi or Alaki and his son. U.S. citizens. Murdered him.
Now, I think that there's an interesting point to be raised here about this. If you know the commission of a crime and you don't report it, that's a crime. I think that instead of going after the person who committed the crime, you should simply go after all the people that have covered up the crime. And I think that would create such a climate of fear amongst criminals that they would start readily dobbing each other in order to get amnesty. What do you think?
I'm afraid that if that starts, it'll start a reign of terror, kind of a French Revolution style, maybe a Cambodian style purge of everybody that was the collective rage will be so bad once people realize they have no retirement and people are broke. The collective rage will be so bad, these New World Order types are going to be wanted men.
Mm. I don't know. I think it depends how entertained people are and whether or not the Prozac supply runs out.
Hey, I'm starting to figure something out, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
There is some very weird. One of my little things that I love to pursue is the Benghazi, because it's just fascinating, and it just gets me those guys got killed for being brave. Mm. But I have found that was a coup attempt. That's what the purging of all the top brass is for. And I'm finding out, I didn't realize this until just a few days ago, there is a rift between the Obama camp and the Bush-Clinton camp, big time.
Really? In what way?
Well, that's the thing. One of my reliable sources told me that when they were in the ready room watching this go down for 4 hours, it took Hillary Clinton 45 minutes to get to the ready room in the White House to watch the footage from drones of what was going on in the Benghazi torture compound. And I heard from my buddy that what he heard was, you know, just conjecture, was she said, let those fuckers burn. Now,
you can't say that on FCC regulated radio,
I'm
even though
sorry.
It is.
Well, that was a direct quote.
It happens from time to time, but you know, it's fine. I think that Hillary is well, you know, I gotta say this, it might be mean, it might be cruel, but why couldn't that blood clot in her brain have actually killed her? I mean, come on. You know, wouldn't the doctor just be sitting here, hey, I could just let it go, and it might actually save a lot more lives if this one goes.
I think the whole blood clot is all a farce. That ties into the Petraeus issue. I think that's a way of firing her and letting her maintain her. And this is Muslim Brotherhood. It's all about the Muslim Brotherhood. That whole Benghazi was all about the Muslim Brotherhood.
Wasn't the Muslim Brotherhood founded and supported by the CIA or something like that?
Well,
it's kind of like a recruiting arm. That, like, you know how The Republican Party, for example, they've got scouts and they go out and they try and find, you know, up-and-comers, rising stars, charismatic people so that they can bring them into the fold so that all these other people who want to be like them, you know, want to be in the public eye or be wealthy or start their own businesses and things like that will be inspired by these people and go and vote for them. The Muslim Brotherhood is more or less the same. They recruit the top brass in the Arab world, you know, the doctors, the lawyers and all of these top clerics and things like that. And what it does, effectively, the exact same as the Republican Party or Democrats or whatever major party you want to talk about, National Party in New Zealand here, exact same thing. You wind up kneecapping any possibility of people getting into politics on their own for honest and integral purposes. And you wind up divvying that control out to the people who started the party instead. What do you reckon?
Well, if I could, just to go back a little bit, just so you know, the Muslim Brotherhood predates the CIA by a long shot. And what's happened is the government has become very favorable and very friendly with the Muslim Brotherhood several times, early in the 40s and 50s to help with communism. They figured, now that was CIA, they figured CIA analysts believed that they could get the Mujahideen to appeal to the United States. It says, "In God we trust on our money. You're fighting communism." That was atheist. Okay, well, then after that fell away, they fell out of favor and were considered terrorists and whatnot. And then this gal, Huma, she's married to Anthony Weiner, and she's Hillary Clinton's main gal. She's attractive. She's charming and well-educated, but she's Muslim Brotherhood, and her mother is like the founding of the Muslim Sisterhood, and she's an active member, and she's Hillary Clinton's number one assistant. And now just recently in a newspaper, I can't name the names, brother, but six inner circle people were outed yesterday in Egypt as Muslim Brotherhood operatives within the White House.
How interesting.
Yes, and her brother, Huma, he has connections with the Oxford University, in which is considered a Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, they have a charter saying they want to take over the world.
Who doesn't?
Well, I don't. A lot of people, not normal people that just work every day, don't think. But these guys have a system, it's called The Project. You can actually Google that. And it's similar to the Communist Manifesto, how it lays out to infiltrate. They call it jihad by civilization. They're not going to fire a shot. They just use the womb in politics.
Sounds exactly like Fabian socialism to me.
Well, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I'll just tell you on Freedom Radio yesterday, once again, my apologies for the swearing. That was a quote, by the way. On Freedom Radio yesterday, I just called in because I love radio, and I started listening to the show. I was on the phone on hold, and I was horrified by what I heard on your guys' show on the radio channel. It was Muslim guys. And
you mean Kevin Barrett's show? Yeah.
He's a and he hung up on me because I start yelling. I spoke to you a long time ago. You said, "Nice rant," is what you told me. I had held for 40 minutes. You probably remember that.
It does happen on occasion, but very rarely have people got that kind of patience.
Yeah, you said, "Wow, 42 minutes, let's talk to him." And then I ranted. I usually rant. I have a YouTube channel. I rant on there, you know. But I called those guys yesterday, and I'm calling it, bro. I did a show about it. Those guys are Islamic infiltrators. They're apologists. They're anti-American. They hate America. The guy threw it in my face immediately that he had a PhD in Islamic studies, which to me is like having a PhD in Branch Davidian studies. That means nothing. That means you've been in school while I was serving my country. That's what that means. But to smart me up, and I've been there. I asked him if he'd been to Mecca, because I realize he's Islamic. He's Islam. He's a white guy that's Islamic. He said he'd been to Morocco, which is the second largest hotbed of the Muslim Brotherhood. That's their political branch. And you know why he hasn't been to Mecca? He's white. He'll probably get his ass beat.
See, you know, I really got to take a step back here. What has Kevin Barrett said, in your opinion, that is anti-American?
Well, if I could, and you know, I don't want to bore you, brother, but my show's the Rocket Radio Show 1 on YT, and I made a show about it. Feel free to listen to it at length. But it's, and I've got to tell you, I haven't heard anything more smarmy and more sinister and more co-IntelPro ever. Alex Jones couldn't hold a candle to that guy. That guy's horrible. Let me try. I'll try to do it my best, okay? Well, we all know that Islam came from Abraham, you know, biblical characters, Christianity. I mean, it's basically same culture, Islam, Christianity, same cultures. They come from the same, you know, and if we go back even further to the Hellenistic era, blah, 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 keeps talking. What did he say there? He says that Islam and Christianity are the same culture. I don't think so. I don't see any Christians cutting anybody's noses off. Sorry. I don't see Christians tearing down the pyramids.
I do see Christians financing drone strikes in Pakistan, though.
All right, cool. And I acknowledge that. And once again, if you were a fan of mine, I've done numerous shows on both the Palestinians, what I think is wrong. I'm an anti-Zionist, too. So, you know, they can throw me in that pot. I'm not anti-Islam, but I don't like infiltration. And to constantly keep referring to America about it's an empire, and then you say it casually, bro. What they do is they paint this picture. It's all liberalism. It's Marxism. He's been in college for 8 years. He paints this picture that America is nothing more than a criminal enterprise. And then he drapes everything he says in red, white, and blue. It's kind of like the devil, a little bit of truth sprinkled in with a bunch of lies. And it's educated, smarmy, friendly, respectable. The only thing he doesn't have is a British accent, or he'd have it. He'd have everything. Because he can talk pleasant and explain how Islam, and he says this, he's got a caller, okay, I'll mock him. He says, oh, isn't it wonderful? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, wouldn't it be weird if Islam wound up saving the Western civilization again? How ironic. Okay, well, it's been great talking to you. Great comment. See you later. Okay, let me put this in normal language, okay? I'm never going to bow my head. So that means I die. My daughter's not going to wear a burqa no matter what. That means she dies. So to sit around and talk about how America is going to convert to an ideology that is the complete antithesis of our belief system is seditious.
You're a traitor. Have you read the Quran?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, once again, unfortunately, even though the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and spoke Aramaic to her, by the time Gabriel made it over to Muhammad, he could only speak Arabic at that time. So unfortunately, the Quran is recorded in Arabic. Arabic's similar to Gaelic in some ways, almost impossible to master if you didn't learn it as a primary language. And so any of those Muslim guys that are listening to my voice right now and you think you're cool, those Arabic dudes talk trash about you because they know no matter what, how it's translated, you cannot translate Arabic properly. So if you question the Quran in the slightest, they'll just say, oh, well, you don't speak Arabic, you wouldn't understand. They always have that out. The Quran is, I mean, I'm educated. I've been there. I know all about it. I asked a lot of questions.
Unfortunately, we've come to break, Rocket. Well, thanks for your call and your opinions there, man.
You didn't know what you're going to do for this segment.
You know what we often do sometimes is that we criticize people because we know what's going on, and you find that people just don't listen because they don't want to research into it themselves. We'll be right back.
To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. Then they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you. Give me a dessert. Oh, you're a dessert, you prick. Give me that dessert. Have a Bloody Mary. Yeah, give me a whiskey sour. Yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. If you want to know what it's like, you can experience going to New Zealand. It's very simple. Sit in a chair for 19 hours and take your hands and press your head as hard as you can. And don't stop. Don't stop! 19 hours, just like this. And then at the end of 19 hours, you pull your hands off and you feel like you're in New Zealand.
Welcome back.
You certainly won't feel like you're home.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Ainsworth Show. It's the final segment today. And we were talking with Rocket just there about religion, Muslims and Muslim Brotherhood and beliefs and all of that kind of stuff. And I think I'm deeply spiritual and I have real faith, yet I follow no religion. I have many people of different faiths who are my friends and confidants, many of which try to convert me. And I don't know. It's belief versus belief rather than fact versus fact. If you are living your life, what they say, through God or in a godly manner or whatever, you are... In general, I actually am following Christian, Muslim, anarchist, and Buddhist, and a number of other belief structures without me even knowing it. I was following these doctrines, and still continue to do so today. And maybe that makes me muddled, but I think that the Constitution enshrined freedom of religion for a reason, to prevent people from warring or persecuting against each other based upon their beliefs. You know, your beliefs are your own, and as long as you don't hurt anybody, it should be fine. You should be free to do what you wish. That's my perspective on it. And I don't hurt nobody. I don't steal anybody's property or anything like that. So, that's how I go about my life regardless. Okay, now, I wanted to read out this article because one of my listeners sent me this on Facebook. And I was like, what the? You know, one of those article things that you see. And I'd like to show this to somebody who we had on. You remember when the massive tsunami hit Japan back in the day? Benjamin Fulford, live from Japan, called me first. And of anybody, I was the first person to get him on radio during that day. And on the day, we were actually having a man named Shannon Phipps, who's a DJ here in New Zealand, trying to debunk earthquake prediction and things of that nature. And he was just, he doesn't like me very much at all. You know, calls me crazy and that everything that I say should be taken with a grain of salt. But regardless, Benjamin Fulford claimed that they were using a tsunami bomb in order to create that tsunami off the coast of Japan. So here's the article out of the Telegraph, and I think this was posted on the 1st of January 2013, when nobody's reading the paper because they're off with their families, of course. Tsunami bomb tested off New Zealand coast. Let me read that again. Tsunami bomb tested off New Zealand coast. The United States and New Zealand conducted secret tests of a tsunami bomb designed to destroy coastal cities by using underwater blasts to trigger massive tidal waves. The tests were carried out in waters around New Caledonia and Auckland during the Second World War and showed that the weapon was feasible and a series of 10 large offshore blasts could potentially create a... Wait for the symbolism here. 33-foot tsunami capable of inundating a small city. I love it how the number 33 just kind of appears everywhere. I'm always looking for it, and sure enough, I always find it. In fact, even so much as children's cartoons. I was watching a movie called Bolt. You know, so yeah, one of those digital things about this dog sort of thing, and the dog is. Got this frisbee that is a bomb, and it gets thrown towards the camera. And as the bomb basically hits the camera, it's on 33 seconds, you know? All these sorts of little symbols and things. People can deny if they want, but I watch lots of movies, and I mean lots and lots and lots of movies, more movies than anybody I know. And the Masonic symbolism is absolutely everywhere. The numbers, the numerologies, it's everywhere. For it to be coincidence, very, very unlikely, in my opinion. The top secret operation, codenamed Project Seal, as in seal your fate, tested the Doomsday device as a possible rival to the nuclear bomb. About 3,700 bombs were exploded during the tests, first in New Caledonia and later at Whangaraparoa Peninsula near Auckland. The plans came to light during research by a New Zealand author and filmmaker, Ray Waru, who examined military files buried in the National Archives. Presumably, if the atomic bomb had not worked as well as it did, we might have been tsunamiing people, said Mr. Waro. It was absolutely astonishing, first that anyone would come up with the idea of developing a weapon of mass destruction based on a tsunami, and also that New Zealand seems to have successfully developed it to the degree that it might have worked. The project was launched in June 1944 after a U.S. naval officer, E.A. Gibson, noticed that blasting operations to clear coral reefs around Pacific Island sometimes produced a large wave, raising the possibility of creating a tsunami bomb. Mr. Waro said the initial testing was positive, but the project was eventually shelved in early 1945. And by shelved military projects, they probably mean it went underground because they didn't want people to know about it. And incidentally, this guy had to dig up an archive from fracking, what was that, 65 years ago? In order to find out what they're actually doing. Back then, who knows what they're doing now? Now, it's... You can't make this stuff up, okay? You can't say you can't make this stuff up enough. It's crazy. It's just freaking crazy. On to another article, and this is one I referred to earlier. I only have a few minutes left in the broadcast today. Democracy is the best form of government. I love it how articles are here. It's the best form of government. Why? Because it's mob rule? Because nobody gets what they want? Because every single tyranny throughout history has started as a democracy, you know? What qualifies it as the best form of government? This article is entitled, as I said before, Election Apathy Shows Need for Civics at School. Now, did this guy study civics? And exactly how did the propaganda work? Well, it told him that democracy was the best system of government, all right? As he gets subsequently enslaved and or exterminated by it, he gets told through the civics classes that it's the best form of government there is. The United States isn't a democracy. They keep being, all the United States people get told, oh, we've got a democracy, it's the best form of government. It's not a democracy, it's a republic. Somebody having enshrined personal, individual, protected freedoms. That is a republic. People having no inherent rights, people being able to take away the rights of others so long as they've got over 50% of people saying that other 49% should have no rights, is a democracy. Do you understand? In a republic, 99% of people cannot vote to take away the rights of the remaining 1%. In a democracy, you only need 51% to take away the rights of the other remaining 49%. That's democracy. Over the past decade, some concerned citizens and governments have become worried about a disengagement of politics of younger people in particular. Their disengagement shows in the number not voting. New Zealand is better off than comparable countries, thanks especially to compulsory voter registration. And did you know that if you don't register to vote, you can be fined in New Zealand? And also, I think it's like, if you do register to vote and you don't vote, then your vote is given automatically by proxy to the winning parties. Right? And last election, we had the lowest voter turnout since 1886, when women weren't even able to vote. I can only stress as to why this might be. Might have been that the media, for the 6 months leading up to the operation, was saying, oh, the election is a slam dunk. There's no way Key can't be elected. And also, as is the case with every single election that I've ever seen in a Western country, there was a major sporting event going on at the same time as the election, which everybody drew their focus on. The most massive sporting event that New Zealand had ever had in its entirety of history, the Rugby World Cup. And so when that finished, there was less than a couple of weeks left for everybody to suddenly inform and engage the public in some kind of political debate or anything like that. It's all stitched up. That's democracy. Hate this country sometimes. You know, I just see everybody's just so stupid, easily manipulated, chicken neck cowards who just sit back and believe their own government's propaganda. I mean, look, if I was to say on this radio show I'm the best radio host in the world, I think you should tell me, Vinny, shut the frack up. You're a lying propagandist swangler, all right? Because those who promote themselves and say that I'm the best, I'm the biggest, that kind of thing, they're usually just a lying scumbag who's trying to convince you to listen to them and do what they say. Because they really ain't got nothing behind them but hubris and scumbaggery, much like the New Zealand government. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll be right back tomorrow with another fabulous guest for y'all. Don't you go changing.